Where, asked my 5-year-old as she looked at the TV screen, are all the women's? It was budget day. The RTE 6 o'clock news was on. I was attempting to digest some of the finer budgetary detail and asked her to shush for a minute. Footage of Finance Minister Michael Noonan delivering Budget 2013 flashed up on screen. The camera panned around the Dáil chamber. You didn't have to be a child prodigy to look at that picture and realise that our parliamentary assembly is utterly male-dominated. But I was still proud of her observational skills. Even at 5, it seemed a remarkable spectacle to her. 2012 was a year when we could really have done with far more women in that political chamber. We could have done with more female voices in discussions to do with how women were targeted in the recent budget, with the taxing of maternity benefit, the child benefit, or the cut in the back-to-school allowance. We could have done with further female perspective on the recent OECD report on how women pay a high price for motherhood, and nowhere more so than in Ireland, with childbearing having a drastic impact on their earning abilities. But really, the most stark examples of how the dominance of testosterone and the serious lack of oestrogen matters most were those discussions which have been centering around women's wombs, the babies they carry in them, the possible risk to their health during pregnancy, and the if and when an abortion can take place. Actually, I believe if half our TDs were men and half women, we would have sorted out this abortion issue a long time ago. How different the tone and content of the debate might be if 50% of those engaged were female. Not least that they wouldn't be squeamish about discussing their reproductive parts. Not only do they have ovaries, but most of the women I know wouldn't blush if they needed to mention them in public. 85% of those who make our laws are people who will never carry or bear a baby, let alone have an intimate knowledge of the workings of the female reproductive system. It was a man, the Minister for Justice, Alan Shatter, who put it so succinctly when he told the Dáil that while we live in a republic which proclaims the equality of all citizens, it is a reality that some citizens are more equal than others. In a fine and thoughtful speech, he noted how men faced no impediment to seeking and obtaining any required medical intervention to protect not only their lives but also their health and quality of life. This Tuesday night, I attended an event where there was an air of celebration in relation to female political representation. It was the launch of a book, The Road to 50-50 Gender Quotas for Ireland. 50-50 is a recently established advocacy group dedicated to achieving equal representation in Irish politics by 2020. Environment Minister Phil Hogan performed the official duties and was the toast of the female-dominated room. Phil would not be a man known for having much street cred on the feminist issue. Legislatively, however, he is the man who has taken the single most significant step to bring more women into national politics with the introduction of gender quotas for election candidates. During her speech on the night, former Minister Gemma Hussey said that never had the voices of women been more needed in Irish political life. She told Phil Hogan that the gimlet eyes of women across Ireland would be on him now to ensure the legislation is implemented. So there is some reason to be gender cheerful this festive season. It's my own Christmas wish that by the time my daughter reaches voting age, the legal uncertainty surrounding ovaries and embryos will be long sorted out, and that the sight of a male-dominated Dáil chamber will be something she only sees on episodes of Reeling in the Years.
That's Alison O'Connor, and we'll make Alison's column available as a podcast on the RT Radio Player tomorrow. Michael Kelly will round off our week of Christmas columns. It's coming up to